Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. And the word of the Lord says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Proverbs 1 and 15 says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." And I want to talk to you this evening on this thought. Consent not. Consent not. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The book of Proverbs, the principal author is Solomon. Solomon, as we know, is responsible for the majority of Proverbs. Others have contributed to that, but he, as we know, is the writer or the compiler of Proverbs, of Ecclesiastes, of the Song or the Songs of Solomon. But we notice that in Proverbs 1 and 1, notice what he says. He says, it's the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, notice verse 2, and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse 3 tells us that it's verse 4, to give severally to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. We need to have some spiritual discretion, especially in the days that we're living in. We need to spiritually discern some things. The Bible tells us to test the spirits. And you, if you're watching or you're here for the first time or you just getting acclimated to Pastor Panero, you understand that I am not about religion. In fact, I don't want to say I despise the term religion, because I don't think in its context it's not bad, but I'm all about relationship. I want us to have a relationship with the Lord, because we have seen religious people fall to the wayside like nobody's business in the last 12 months. But we have seen those that had a relationship with the Lord, even if it was a very limited or it was an estranged relationship, we have seen them, we have seen those strengthened. We have seen those relationships be reflective of the love of God and the mercies of God. And so where we are headed as a church and where we are headed in end time prophecy, you need to have a relationship with the Lord. You're going to have some spiritual discretion, some spiritual discipline, but you're also going to need to have some spiritual sensitivity, because the Bible tells us it would even be so that they would believe a lie. So I just want to build that as a premise tonight, that we understand of the word consent, and what I'm going to be talking about tonight is some things that we need to understand. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, Solomon, in all of his putting together of the book of Proverbs, it's bittersweet, because on the one hand, the scriptures make it clear that Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom and honor like no other king before or after him. But to we would see, and God said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1 and 11, God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, that thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, and honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet have ye asked for long life. But Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge." And in verse 12 tells him that the Lord says, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, but I'm going to give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee." Notice this. "Neither shall there any of thee have like before." There's never going to be anybody that's going to be able to amount to the wisdom and knowledge or the riches of Solomon. But in all, to Solomon's demise, he blindly ignored his own counsel. If you're taking notes here tonight, you write this down. If there's anything that can be learned or understood, is that wisdom is pointless unless it's applied. There's a lot of folks that they know better, but they don't know better. Many of life's tragedies could be averted by avoiding the company of individuals who do not uphold God's values. God has a value system. Come on, somebody. Amen. Proverbs 1 and 10 tells us, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't walk in their way. Refrain," verse 15 says, "thy foot from their path." This is going to surprise most people, maybe. But sinful people and places and things will entice you. And if they haven't, they will. But you don't have to consent to sinful people, places, and things. Proverbs 13 and 20 tells us, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Notice this, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Anybody want the payment of the good and the righteous? Come on, somebody. To be enticed means that you're coaxed or flattered or persuaded. You're allured. It's to lead on by an exciting hope or desire. One thing that we are we are dealing with as a society is the minimum wage. I remember, I'm not that old. I know I look a lot younger than I am. Thank the Lord for those Portuguese jeans. But I remember making $4.25 an hour at KFC when I was 16 years old. I had to get a job right away because I had a truck that was given to me. And I didn't have insurance. And my dad says, "That truck's not moving from the front of the house until you have insurance." So I rode my bike for 2 weeks till I got my first paycheck. Then I can go get insurance. But $4.25, but we're dealing with right now with potentially minimum wage. At some point in time, there's just lots of discussion of going to $15 an hour. But could I tell you that sin still pays the same? Even if you got a raise from sin. Just saying. Sin has always paid the same. Romans 6 and 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If it's been sin before, it is still sin today. That's why we have to live and understand and have a relationship with the Lord with biblical principles and biblical absolutes instead of just give me, Pastor, 100 things that I can or can't do. Could I tell you, because the Ten Commandments, you look at the Ten Commandments and most of them are thou shalt not. But could I tell you, if the Bible calls it sin, then it doesn't matter who's approves it. It's still sin. If the Word of God disapproves it, it doesn't matter if it becomes legal. It is still sin. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 4 and 14 tells us, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Notice this. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Well, I just was curious. It says, don't be curious. It says, pass not by it. turn from it and pass away. That's the thing about repentance, is you turn away from it. You say, you know, I used to be, but I'm not going to be anymore. And I'm going to go this way mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, you restore to me the joy of my salvation. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. I may fall down, but I get back up, and I'm not going to pass by it. I'm not going to be enticed by sin. I won't consent to the things of this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Don't consent to sin, even when it's enticing. Consent means to approve, agree, comply, or yield to. Proverbs 14 and 9 tells us, I have a lot of scripture tonight, but it says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The righteous have favor. That's why we want to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We want to pursue righteousness. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 and 17, notice this, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Brother Para, we want to consent to righteousness. We want to consent to love. We want to consent to good works. We want to consent to the good, to the biblical standards and the biblical pursuits. All the word of God is true and it's profitable. The scripture tells us there are some things that we got to make sure that we get in our heart, that we do not sin against the Lord. Saints of God, in this time, this season, this dispensation that we're living in, we've got to make sure that we are absolutely focused on our relationship with the Lord. Even when it's difficult, we got to make sure that we're focused on our relationship with the Lord. Notice this, Proverbs 3 and 1 tells us, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice this, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Notice this. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Brother Mercy, say amen. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Notice this. I like this part. Proverbs 3 and 4. If you're taking notes, you want to write this or highlight this. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Even, listen to Pastor, even when sinners may seem to be thriving and you're struggling with your walk with God, you're trying to be a Christian and you're just like, man, seemed like everybody was more happy for me when I was all loaded. Man, it seemed like everybody was happy for me when I was locked up and I was selling dope. And now I'm dealing hope. And it seems like all the haters are hating on me. Can I tell you, that's no different than what the psalmist felt like and thought in Psalm 73. Read that psalm this week. Psalm 73 begins to say, I almost quit. I almost gave up. I'm paraphrasing. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, but until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Hey, there is plenty. Pleasure in sin for a season, but can I tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun, saints of God. We got to make sure that if we're going to consent to anything, we consent to the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. If there's anything we want to make sure we consent to, it's the word of God. Jeremiah 17 and 7 tells us, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. You know, sin is enticing because it offers a quick route to temporary pleasures. You know, the bottle, you build up a tolerance, right? And so you got to have more, and the void is still there. The illicit relationship is still the illicit relationship. Just you know, the Lord has brought you out of darkness. But sin is still sin, even when it's attractive. Right? Don't matter if she looked good. If she's married to somebody else, she ain't for you. Come on, somebody. Even if it's on your phone and say, oh, I just go in my truck and I look at it. Hey, if it's sin, it's sin. Well, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with Jesus on Sunday or Wednesday and then talk and live like hell the rest of the week. You got to walk with Jesus. No man can serve two masters. You're either going to love one or hate the other. So you can't serve God and serve the devil and sin and flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We cannot consent to the flesh. We must learn to make choices, not on the basis of fleshly appeal or short-range pleasures. But we need to understand that heaven is for real. And getting there is going to be worth it. Mm. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Oh, look at that word. Enticed. The word of the day is enticed. Right? Anybody ever been enticed? Right? Maybe by tacos, right? You've been enticed? Right? Notice this. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, don't get it wrong. That's what it says in James 1:16. Don't get it wrong. We cannot, listen, we cannot be friendly with sin. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about sin. We cannot be friendly with sin and expect our lives to be unaffected. It's been said, and it took me a while to really understand the revelation of this, because I believe it is a revelation. But they say that you are the sum total of the three to five people that you are most associated with. I would just let you chew on that. That you are more aligned with the Fab Five that you're most associated with. What does that look like for you? Think about Jesus. He had 12. Then he had 11. But then he had 3. Peter, James, and John. But then there was 1. John the Beloved. You know, the Lord knows everything about everybody. Psalm 1:6 tells us, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm just talking about us, about staying the course of being submitted to God and His Word. It's easy to become discouraged and distracted in this, in from what's been taking place over the last 12 months. Has anybody found that it was just, you know, getting discouraged and distracted? Has maybe you haven't been as discouraged or distracted in the last 12 months as you have in your entire life? You know, you've had your moments, right? It's not always a 10. We're living up here like, oh man, it's all good. And you know, you may have been at a negative 10 today, but thank the Lord that you've been entered into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Maybe the problem is that you're submitting to sin. You're submitting to the flesh. You're submitting to fear. The scripture says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Clean your hands. Oh, that, how appropriate is that, right? Clean your hands. Somebody say amen. Amen. Ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, it's I hope this, is this okay tonight? Is this okay? It is time. Somebody say it's time. It's time for some to quit drifting or distancing your relationship with the Lord. Now, man, I really want to say some stuff, but wisdom is telling me to slow my roll. So I'm gonna obey the Holy Ghost to make sure. See, you gotta resist the flesh sometimes, because you know sometimes you get pastors can pastor and then they can pester. I don't wanna be a pester in the pulpit. I want a pastor in the pulpit. But hypocritical living won't get you into heaven. Well. Right? If it's okay to go to Target and go eat inside restaurants, well, go to Costco with 300 people. I'm just saying, it's time for some folks to start drawing close to God again. But lukewarm living and sinful living won't get you to heaven either. Revelation 3 and 15 says, I know thy works. That thou art neither cold nor hot. Verse 16 says, because thou art lukewarm, I'm going to spew thee, excuse me, out of thy mouth. I want us to be encouraged tonight. I want us to be blessed tonight. I want us to have an understanding that there is a positioning, or there is a posture, there is the characteristics of the blessed, of the faithful, of the righteous. There is a common denominator. There will be a common denominator to those that hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And that is that they did not consent to sin. They may have been enticed, they may have been tempted, they may have times where they stumbled and they fell, but they got back up again. But those are going to be the people that endure until the end. And if they consented to anything, they consented to the Word of God. I got to ask us tonight, are we consenting wholeheartedly to science and perspectives and opinions? Or are we consenting, Lord, give me Jesus, give me your word, give me the doctrine of baptism in Jesus' name, one God, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that there's a hell that's real, but there's a heaven, that Jesus died for me on the cross, and he's coming back for a people, for a church, for a holy church, without a spot or a blemish, and I'm not going to consent to the wicked of the world, the evil of the world, the sin of the world, but I am going to consent to truth, to the Word of God. I'm going to consent to an anointing, to heaven. That is where I'm headed. Psalm 1 and 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not consent to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. Blessed is the man that does not consent to the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful or the critical. The Bible, if you begin to read further on, it tells us that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in the law of the Lord, he meditates on day and night. The blessed man does not consent to the enticement of sinners. He doesn't heed to them. He doesn't stand for sinful ways. He's not sitting around and amusing himself in sinful activities. But the character of the blessed man, the character of the Christian, is that their delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. For some people, they got their money on their, they got their mind on their money. Right? For others, they got their mind on materialism. They got their mind on carousing around. But the blessed man has got his mind on Jesus. I want to encourage somebody tonight. You can live for God. You can live for God. You can be victorious. You can be anointed. You can be blessed and stay blessed. Come on, somebody. The blessings of the Lord, he maketh rich. You do not have to consent to the ways of this world. It doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted, but you don't have to consent. You don't have to pull up a chair at the table, but you could say, you know, guess what? I see you, but I'm going the other way because I'm headed to a place where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, and I am consenting to the word of God. Stay the course of holding the line of holiness. Somebody say amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but God has called us unto holiness. Don't be enticed by unholy living behaviors or activities. Stay on the path of eternal life and blessings. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and there is the pathway thereof. There is no death. You know, we've all seen so much. Everybody in this sanctuary tonight has seen so much. We've seen the calamity and the pitfalls of others who, because they fail to use spiritual discretion and avert the enticement of sin and sinners, we've seen their demise. But we have examples in the Bible of somebody that did not consent to the enticement of sin. Joseph in the Bible was a great example. He ran. Probably ran away in his chonies because it said he left the robe, his robe behind. He dude took off. Hey, sometimes you're going to have to run and say, you know what, I'm running to the altar. I'm running to the foot of the cross. I'm running to the prayer room. I'm running because sin is after me. Can I tell you, sin may be after you, but Jesus is welcoming you with wide open arms and say, you know what, come unto me all that labor and that heavy laden, I will give you rest. Solomon says in Proverbs 1:15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Another thing. Somebody say another thing. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is another great scripture if you're taking notes tonight. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil chat. Chatter, texting, emails, TikTok, Zoom. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Notice what it says, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We should be influencing the sinners, not them influencing us. Do they know that you're a Christian? Without you telling them? Don't let your... Listen to Pastor. I'm talking about sin, not sinners. But notice this. Don't let your relationship with unbelievers lead you astray from your relationship with God. Does your relationship with those that are non-believers cause them to want the joy and the peace that they see exemplified in your life? Or are they like, no, I definitely don't want what they got? Does your light shine so bright? They're like, I got to have what you got. Whatever it is, I got to have it. Are we being a witness to them? Are we being an encouragement to them? That there's more to church than religion? Come on, somebody. Philippians 2 and 13 tells us, and I'm coming to a close, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I think sometimes we want God to work in us for our good pleasure. Right? James tells us we have not because we ask amiss. We're wanting things for our purpose and our will. And the Lord's saying, nah, it's not about your purpose and your will, but my will and my purpose. Are we sharing our testimony of conversion with them? Because I'm sure they're talking about their weekend and their bad relationship and how their life may be upside down and their temptation, you know, their flirtatious remarks, and are we magnifying the Lord? Well, are we praying for them? Are we praying with them? Are we demonstrating, notice this, are we demonstrating compassion rather than the look of disgust? The musicians would begin to come. Proverbs 4 and 18 tells us, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Sinners, if sin is going to entice, we don't need to entertain that. Think of the story of Job. It's 44 chapters long, I believe, maybe 42. But it's the story of a man and his calamity. There's the affliction of Job. And the first two chapters of Job's life, most of us have not even lived and have gone through half of what he's gone through in a lifetime of what he went through in the first two chapters. I mean, his wife tells him, are you trying to keep on or retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job did not allow that enticement to provoke him to consent to that. But instead, he blessed God and lived. And the Lord gave him a double portion. Even when his friends sat around and stared at him for days, assuming that he must have did something really bad, Job knew better. And the scripture tells us in Job 1 and 22, as we stand tonight, the word of the Lord tells us, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In everything that Job went through, wouldn't you think that it would have been justifiable or reasonable for Job to be like, yeah, this is for the birds? But it says in all this, Job sinned not. He had reason to be enticed, but he didn't charge the Lord foolishly. He sinned not. Luke 11 and 28 tells us, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and they keep it. I, for one, have not always practice what I've preached in different areas of my life, right? Talk about health and wellness, and you're like, Pastor, I've known you for 6 years, and you're growing spiritually, and, you know, getting a little chunkier, right? But we all have got great intentions. We all have great advice for others about how they should manage their finances, their relationships, their physical health. We all got opinions, right? Anybody here make the best tacos, right? Everybody's got an opinion. The best chili verde, right? But anybody have the best wife, right? I mean, we all got things that opinions. But the Word of God is not an opinion. The Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is the water and the bread of life. It'll protect you, it'll keep you, it'll nourish you, it'll convict you, it'll heal you, it'll edify you, but it'll also cut you deep. We've got to ensure that we are not consenting to the opinions and the fads and the critical mindsets of this world, but that we are all about not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I'm still going to follow him. I got a Joshua 24:15 mindset that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are some things I'm not going to consent with. I'm not going to approve of. I'm not going to tolerate. But there are some things I will yield to, and I will promote. I will parade. And that is the infallible, inspired Word of God.